He passed over the river and saw the lanterns hanging to the masts of the ships. He passed over the ghetto, saw all the people bargaining with each other and weighing out money in copper scales. At last he came to the poorhouse and looked in. The boy was tossing feverishly on his bed, and the mother had fallen asleep. She was so tired. In he hopped and laid the great ruby on the table beside the woman's thimble. Then he flew gently round the bed, fanning the boy's forehead with his wings. "How cool I feel," said the boy. "I must be getting better," and he sank into a delicious slumber. Then the swallow flew back to the happy prince and told him what he'd done. "It is curious," he remarked, "but I feel quite warm now, although it is so cold." "That is because you have done a good action," said the prince. And the little swallow began to think. Then he fell asleep. Thinking always made him sleepy. When day broke, he flew down to the river and had a bath. "What a remarkable phenomenon," said the professor of ornithology as he was passing over the bridge. "A swallow in winter." And he wrote a long letter about it to the local newspaper. Everyone quoted it. It was full of so many words that they could not understand. "Tonight I go to Egypt," said the swallow. He was in high spirits at the prospect. He went to have a look at all the public monuments and sat a long time on top of the church steeple. Wherever he went, the sparrows chirruped and said to each other, "What a distinguished stranger!" So he enjoyed himself very much. When the moon rose, he flew back to the happy prince. "Have you any commissions for Egypt?" he cried. "I am just starting." "Swallow, swallow, little swallow," said the prince, "will you not stay with me one night longer?" "Oh, I'm waited for in Egypt," answered the swallow. "Tomorrow my friends will fly up to the second cataract. The river horse coaches there among the bulrushes, and on a great granite throne sits the god Memnon. All night long he watches the stars, and when the morning star shines, he utters one cry of joy. And then he's silent. At noon the yellow lions come down to the water's edge to drink. They have eyes like green beryls, and their roar is louder than the roar of the cataract." "Swallow, swallow, little swallow," said the prince. "Far away across the city I see a young man in a garret. He's leaning over a desk covered with papers, and in a tumbler by his side there is a bunch of withered violets. His hair is brown and crisp. His lips are red as a pomegranate. He has large, dreamy eyes. He's trying to finish a play for the director of the theatre, but he is too cold to write any more. There's no fire in the grate, and hunger has made him faint. I will wait with you one night longer," said the swallow, who really had a good heart. "Shall I take him another ruby?" "Alas, I have no ruby now," said the prince. "My eyes are all that I have left. They are made of rare sapphires, which were brought out of India 1,000 years ago. Pluck out one of them and take it to him. He will sell it to a jeweler and buy food and firewood and finish his play." "Dear prince," said the swallow, "I cannot do that." And he began to weep. "Swallow, swallow, little swallow," said the prince, "do as I command you." So the swallow plucked out the prince's eye and flew away to the student's garret. It was easy enough to get in, as there was a hole in the roof. Through this he darted and came into the room. The young man had his head buried in his hands, so he did not hear the flutter of the bird's wings. And when he looked up, he found the beautiful sapphire lying on the withered violets. "I am beginning to be appreciated," he cried. "This is from some great admirer. Now I can finish my play." He looked quite happy.